Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What up? This is not the best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. All right, a lot of this stuff, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say, oh, this is great. This is awesome stuff. I would like to think that I have some degree of consistency. It could be consistently shitty to some of you, but I still like to maintain whatever it is, a level of consistency. So, you know, in my own twisted mind, I'm like, well, no matter what it is that I have out there available, old stuff from the past nearly 4 years, it's all worthy. Now, deep down, I don't believe that. I just want you to be able to listen to something while I am away for a period of time. All right? Fair enough? That's why I call it not the best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. However, I do feel reasonably confident with some of the material that I have today. A great limo story. Those are always good. A great story about when I made Diana think she was going to die. It's ridiculous. Also, review of a fight at a restaurant. I love those moments. And also, I'm going to start it off with this segment right here. And this is the very first thing I did when it comes to podcasting in its current form. All right. I was fired on a Friday, January 4th, 2019 from WBBL. And then Saturday happened. And then Sunday I was podcasting. And this is the first segment. It's like a 20, 25 minute clip. Me, I just hit record, pushed live on the Facebook from this very room, the Fear Bunker studio, and then kind of did it. Now, the way I deliver a show has obviously changed. When you do this for as long as I've been doing it, it's, you know, you're going to, adapt or change or whatever. But so you may notice that. Also, the tech sucked even worse. I mean, the tech I have now is good, but I'm just saying, what I had back then was just a horrible little laptop that you'll notice that the audio will like almost like skip certain portions of it. But I tell the story fresh on my mind 2 days after I just got fired from BBL. So that's where I start off this edition of Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Hello, world! We're back in my attic again. Back in my attic again. I gotta be careful. I'm exploring with these levels. Oh, Jesus. That's going to be all distorted and sound like a big, wet bag of balls. Oh, crap. Okay. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot see what you're asking me right now. And that's probably best because I have a lot to say. If you're listening to this, like later, like not live, that's who I'm addressing, the folks on Facebook Live, as we do this very, very special first edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast. I'm going to get my dad in here in a little bit because I told him I'd call.
And if you're listening on Facebook, I'm such a fucking idiot. If you're watching on Facebook and then you're seeing this, what you're seeing here is the apparel of a guy who does not give two shits. Look at this. I got my house shoes on. These sweats that I've worn all day. You would not believe the ball smell. I'm wearing a t-shirt. Look at that. So that's basically how it's probably going to be most of the time. And I frankly can get very used to this. God, I wish I wasn't a drunk. That is one of the most ridiculous things in the world. The fact of the matter is that when I was 12, well, hell, I started drinking when I was 17, 18 years old. And then I drank so much that I ruined it for myself. And when I was 25, June of 1996, I was about to turn 26. I drank so much that my wife said, I'm not going to raise my children to be like, you know, surrounded by a drunk and mayhem. And she worked in the field of substance abuse at the time, so it makes perfect sense. And she was like an enabler for a long period of time. And then finally she said, all right. She like did one of those put her foot down deals. And I woke right the hell up, man. That was it. You better not let this one go. Fast forward. People might be saying, well, what about you? And I've never fallen off the wagon. What about you drinking these things? Isn't that a slippery slope? Well, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and it is not. And I've talked to people who I've got mixed reviews. Some drunks like me have said, oh, boy, no, 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 no. But it's worked for me, and I love the taste of it. Even though this is a very, very weak beer. They don't even call it beer. They call it non-alcoholic brew. So I just call them brewskis. Anyway. Shalom. Shalom to a new era. Look at this. I'm surrounded by walls that are all mudded. If somebody wants to help out, I will. We can have it. Someone said, let's have a mudding party at Eric Zane's. I am not turning away any assistance for this show. I'll tell you that right now. My God, I just love the flavor of them. I drink them really fast, too. I'm in no danger of falling off the wagon. I'm in a great place. I cannot tell you how liberating it is to do this. Now, ask me again when my bank account is zero. We have a lot to talk about today, but I think the process of getting this deal up and running in this room in particular, and I don't really have the access to bounce around the room and show you. I pointed it out a little bit earlier, but I'll get more in depth later on. I can show you how this process is and how it's gone. Getting the room ready and all these things, it was exciting. I was very, very excited. And as I set up the Audio Boom account and I set up the Patreon, I started having these weird like butterflies. It was ridiculous. I was like, well, that's mine now. I don't have to worry about anything. And here's what's going to happen. I've had a couple of days to wrap my mind around this, but I guess, and I bear with me because I'm extremely hyper. I'm at an elevated state right now. It's something you might not be used to. But all of this stuff that I have going on here, there are several people who are left not in such great spirits right now. And so I wanted you to please remember Benjamin, first of all. We've spoken a bit. He's with his family right now, and this is a new experience for him. So he's kind of just getting used to that. And I cannot tell you how proud of him, how proud I am of him for getting on stage at that comedy club, Back Alley Comedy, and doing that on the day he got fired. I mean, that is it would have been completely acceptable for any person to just say, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to lay low. But the dude, he manned up. Talk about the stones on this guy. Holy shit. When he first did comedy, he had to contend with the fact that it was put onto a 50,000-watt radio station after that. I mean, that's what, what's his name? Brad Williams said. He goes, man, you got balls. And, Ben has balls and he's just kind of ignorant. And I don't mean that negatively. I mean, he's ignorant to,
he's oblivious to what's insanely hard. Okay? That's what I, or either maybe that, or he just doesn't show it. But, and then to get hammered on Friday and shit canned, and then he jumps up on stage in front of people in a town he doesn't know if anybody's even going to know him. God dang it, that is great. Marcus freaking Bradman is a really, really hard worker who gave a lot of sweat equity into WBBL. And Marcus gets a, got a lot of shit from a lot of people for a lot of years. And he always had a smile on his face. I can count on one hand the times I got, I actually lost my temper with Marcus. Because it's difficult to lose your temper. He's just always kind of laughy about the whole thing. And, you know, I mean, I remember listening to Kevin Matthews when Kevin, God damn it, Kevin used to do impressions of Marcus. And I didn't even know who Marcus was, but I know that there was a speaking issue or something with his speech pattern that made Kevin make fun of him. So Kevin's on the air going, and it's like, oh man, that was, it sounded brutal. And, but Marcus laughs it all off. It's no big deal. And he, for the longest time, he worked as the kind of like the face setting up the presentation for the radio station and all these different, all the different radio stations for a lot of years. And then he was put into a position at WBBL where he was like, kind of like, I don't want to, I wish I could say he was in charge, but he wasn't. And I think that, excuse me, I think maybe deep down he might have thought that maybe the end was near. I don't know. I want to take a little time to go back on the events of the day in just a minute. Also, the huge and Lurch thing was weird because I didn't know what was up, and we'll talk more about that, but those two are still employed. I think they had their... You want to invade me? I'm on a roll, so...
Keep rolling.
Okay, thank you. Okay, all right. Anyway... Jacqueline, they had their cheese moved a bit. I can't do it with you staring at me. You got it. Close the door and shut the light off because it's yes. Thank you. Anyway, Lurch and Bill had their cheese moved, and that's not fun, but they're still under the impression that those two were fired too. Hold on. I need to drink this because I am talking a lot. It's like I'm on coke. It's like a big a pile of the Bolivian marching powder just right up my nose. Thank God I don't do drugs. Can you imagine what that would be like? Oh, I mean, I'm already an insufferable asshole. Oh, I don't know how anybody puts up with me when I'm normal. Hold on. Please, drink your own at home. Shalom. Is that what they say? Shalom? Shalom? Salud. What the fuck? I don't know. Where was I? Okay. Let's go back to the day. Friday was like any other day. And let me just say that I did not see this coming at all. There wasn't a day that I went in there to WBBL that I didn't feel like, I always felt like we were going to be great. I mean, I was really, really proud of the show. I was proud of how Ben and I were doing. I know when shows move. I know when there's a pace and a momentum. And I felt an energy between Ben and I that did not get bogged down at all. Occasionally, we'd have a stinker of a segment, like maybe I threw it together too quickly or something like that. And I especially became excited this week because Sam Mills comes upstairs and she is still working there. And a couple of times, like, come on in, Sam. And Sam is, it allows you to have this three-person dynamic, which is what you want most of the time. It's the easiest thing to do, especially at least for us, because Ben feels a lot of pressure is off of him and he's more into the drops and he's more of a sniper.
and it just flows. And I knew on the days that she was in that it was really moving even better than before. So I was excited about that. Friday, no exception, man. We had that comedian came in. Jay came in, and I had thrown up right before he got there. So that was the start of the weirdness. But I was like, well, this is bad. I'm concerned. I went back to the radio studio, and from that point, at the end of that hour, Ron was getting set to come in, and I got sick again. Terrible. Then Sam said, look, you're white as a ghost. And I go, you know, you're right, and I'm probably going to get some people sick here. I should leave. This was a mistake for me to stay even longer than I got sick. Excuse me. So I leave, and I remember I was at the elevators, and I texted my boss, who is, you know, she's always like, I need to be informed. So I texted her. I texted Mrs. Warmth. Hello. I got sick. I'm in trouble. Sam and Ben are going to keep it on the road while I'm gone. So, in fact, I saw the sales staff outside of the building walking in to start the day. Hey, how are you? Not good. I go home. While I'm walking into the door, I said to myself, man, the family's going to think something's up if I can walk into the door. I got to make sure the second I get eyes on these people that I say, excuse me, damn it. Oh, that's bad. That sounded bad. I need to make sure that I say, hey, I'm not fired. And I actually thought that exact thing. I ran into Aubrey first. Hold that thought. All right. If you're picking this up on the audio, it just stopped. You may have missed something. I swear it was only a handful of seconds. This is one of these, little bugs on the Eric Zane Show podcast. But considering we're 2 days removed from being fired, I think we're doing okay. This meeting at 3, Ben and I speculated. Actually, I convinced Ben. I go, hey, I think I know what's up. Yeah, what is it? I go, I'll bet you they're going to take the sports programming and move it onto the AM. And they're going to give you and I a big, fat, nice, juicy format, and we can be the cornerstone of it. I really believe that. And then I said to him, I go, I think Sam Mills is in on it. He goes, what? I go, I don't know, man. She's super confident, because I was talking with her, and she said to me, I think this is going to work out great for you, Eric, because I had said to her the day before, I don't know, Sam, I'm a little bit scared about this. And she put my mind at ease and said, I wouldn't worry about it. I think you're doing great, and I think this is going to work out awesome for you. Now, Sam didn't know anything, but she was devastatingly wrong. It did not work out well for me at all, at least at the time. I think as of right this second, it is. So Ben and I were kind of stoked about this Friday meeting. I get sick. I go, I'll see you back here for the meeting. I'm going to be back here for that no matter what. He goes, okay, cool. My wife has been under the weather too. Whole family's been wiped out with this flu. I walk upstairs. She's still asleep. It's like 8:40. It dawns on me as I'm going in the room, I have not yet heard from Mrs. Warmth. And that's weird because she's always like, you know, right away. As I'm waking my saying, hey, I'm here. Don't worry. Nothing bad happened. I'm just ill. My phone buzzes. It's from Mrs. Warmth. It says, okay. Responding to, hey, I'm sick. That was weird. Normally, it's polite with, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Sorry you're ill. Yeah, rest up and we'll get back after it. But it said, okay. And right there, the spider sense started to tingle. And I was like, but I dismissed it. And I laid down, and I felt so bad. And it was so bad that if I moved, my head would hurt so bad, the nausea, it would make me throw up. So I did that more than once within the first 10 minutes. I'm laying in bed. And I finally fall asleep, and the phone starts buzzing, and it wakes me. Because it's, you know, it's the noise it makes. There's no tone. It's just vibrating right by me.
What the? I grab it. I see missed call from the radio station, and I see text message from a person at work. And it says, Ben and Marcus were just let go. And I went, oh my gosh. This is it. They did it. They freaking blew it up. They fooled me. First of all, I don't know what anyone, I mean, how good of a move or bad of a move this is, or how well or not well they are prepared for this move. I guess it remains to be seen if they really do. The brass have their ducks in a row. Remains to be seen. What they do for sure have is an unbelievable brand of stealth. Holy shit. Talk about a blindside. Oh, man. I was like, fuck. And every person that I've talked to said, we had no idea. So whoever is the genius who got the freaking Harry Potter invisibility cloak on this thing, fuck. Nobody knew. I've talked to nearly every person at the radio station individually, saying goodbye to them, because these are all very, very nice people, the ones that I called. And no one knew shit. Either that or they just didn't tell me. But no, it was all really good. But they were all floored. No one had any clue. So in fact, when they dropped the hammer on me, which I'll get more to that in a second. Hold on. I got to see what time I'm calling my dad. Okay, we got a little time. I called somebody at the radio station and said, hey, man, I'm dead. And he goes, what? Dude had no idea. Nobody had any idea. Remarkable. Pause. Everybody take a drink. Take a drink to this new freaking thing. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so much fun. All right. So then my head's reeling. I got to call the boss. Now, this guy, his name is Bruce. All right. This might be one of the nicest people on the planet. He is so polite and kind. And I don't know. I've been through it enough that it was no big deal. A lot of people have had a problem with him firing me over the phone. Fuck it. Who cares? Don't worry about it. I don't care. I'm glad he didn't say, you have to come in. Because I'd have been like, well, I'm going to be barfing all the way there, man. I might barf on your desk. But he goes, hey, man, it's going down. By the way, the fact that they came in there like the Grim Reaper, cleaning house, and I'm not there. Like, heads are rolling down the hallway. And then they go, we need one more head. Where's Eric? Can you imagine the look on that dude's face when he's like, oh, shit. No. Oh, my God. So this dude, he leaves a message. Hey, Eric, we got to talk, man. I'm here with Crystal, and we need to talk to you right away on the phone. It's super important. I mean, Jesus. Now, in the back of my mind, there's 99.99999% I am fired. But I thought to myself, in a little fan is not right with the world. There was that small percentage that was like, maybe they want to say to me, you're our hero, and you... We've gotten rid of everyone, and you must lead us to the promised land? I don't know. It's ridiculous. So, no, it was not to be. They wiped me out, too. And I said, okay, I get it. I talked to Ben. Ben was sad. Very, very sad. And I think he kind of bugged out of town for a little bit. It's been hit or miss about reaching out to him and talking to him. I've talked to him a little bit here and there, but it's going to be okay. I communicated with Marcus. He was pissed and mad, as can be expected. It's a wave of emotions.
I was, hold on, let me talk about this. I called fucking Bill, and then I'm like, hey, man. And he was, okay, here's the thing. I think Bill was a little bit coy on one thing, him still having a job. I thought he was fired because at the bottom of the work release agreement, it said 5 people were getting fired. And I don't know if they wanted to include that on it, but it didn't have names. It had ages. 28, 31, Lurch, Ben. 52, Marcus. 48, Eric. And 57, that's Bill. Done. So I go, Bill, you're... And his reaction was weird. I was like, "Why? How come he isn't freaking out?" And so I think Bill had it in place, but he did not have the chance. He didn't have the, freedom to be able to talk about that. So, and do not give him any shit about that. That's the way the business goes. That is a 100% normal thing. You take care of your own thing, and then you branch out. And I talked to Bill afterwards. I go, "You fucker, why didn't you tell me?" And he goes, "I couldn't at the time." So don't worry about that. No big deal. Don't care. And you know what? I'll tell you this right now. People say, "You should, if someone knew, you should have been warned." Bullshit. I do not want to be warned ever, because those days leading up, I had a lot of fun doing those shows. Those shows were never dull to me. I never had a problem doing them. I enjoyed all of those shows, and they were great, man. When Ben and I got in that fight, that was a disaster. I don't know, maybe that did contribute to them saying, "All right, you know, screw this whole thing." But we did fix that, and we're still very close, and we were close on the air. As you know that, we're very honest with you all about that. I've never tried to bullshit you in any way. We've never... that's been the one thing that we've been very, very strong at. It's just lay it out there and that's it. They're either going to buy it or they're not.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, back in real time. Not the best of the Eric Zane Show podcast is happening. Don't forget, I still have a Patreon that I want you to be part of. And oh my gosh, bigger and better things have been headed to the Patreon. Just awesome. Specifically, who are these Zanes? The show that I put out there once a week on Patreon with Ben, where we review old Eric Zane audio from different radio stations that I've worked at, all of which shitty. Patreon.com/Eric Zane for the ad-free Patreon. $5 or $10 a month gets you hours and hours and hours of material each and every week. I do 11 bonus shows most weeks on the Patreon. So check it out, Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Now, the opening of Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast is brought to you by A&E. Heating and Cooling, one of the longest running sponsors I've had. Thank you, Joe Martinez. You are awesome. 616-516-8579. Forget old bitchy grandma yelling at her kids. Forget the scumbags at Service Professor. Fuck all those guys. All right? You need A&E Heating and Cooling. Only on a podcast can you say, "Yeah, fuck the other guys." Call upon A&E Heating and Cooling, 616-516-8579. To Madre Azuna Puta, say that, and you will save 0% with A&E Heating and Cooling. Okay, back to more of Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Now, right now, as we speak, my foot is not visible, but there is no sock on it and there is no shoe on it. In fact, I'm not lying to you. I'm not even wearing pants. So I have to sit. I have to be very careful how I sit here on the camera because people might see me actually in my underwear. I don't want that. I hope the cat doesn't come in here all in a panic, carrying like a rabbit, because then I would have to get up with my nearly nude ass running behind me. So, no, I'm not going to show you, Megan. What the hell is wrong with you? Come on. It's embarrassing. So the doc is like, gross. I'm like, oh, come on. I've known this guy for years. So you might be like, what type of professional courtesy is that? I've known. I call him stupid. It's like, hey, stupid, fix my foot. So he prescribes a medication, and then away we go. On the road to recovery, it takes half a year for your nails to grow back. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. But that's not why I bring this up, because my right foot is destined to kill me, I think. Because this was on Friday. All right, now Saturday, I don't know how I managed, but I actually got up at like 6:45 because, you know, I get up about 6 Monday through Friday. On Saturday and Sunday, I want to sleep until, oh, I don't know, 10 or 11 in the morning. But a pal of mine named Rob Hyde, he is a terrific runner and a person in the community who always helps out. Rob Hyde reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to run the Deemer. That's a 5K that's been going around for like 30 years. The Deemer family of races, or the Deemer, I forget what it is. I don't even know. There's like 5 Deemers. Prominent local running family. Anyway, Deemer hosts his race, 5K, and it's the donut race. If you beat Deemer, I forget his first name. Is it Brian? If you beat Deemer, you win the donut. Well, there's no chance I'm going to beat Deemer. He's in his mid-50s. I think he's probably about 19 minutes for a 5K, so the dude still is just crushing it. There's no chance my fat ass is going to beat him. But Hyde says, do you want to run the Deemer? He's one of the race organizers. I go, yes. I did the old just say yes. I didn't think. I wanted to. I wanted to get out of it. And then I said yes. And then after I said yes, I was plotting how I would get out of it. How I was just going to sleep and then just say, oh, yeah, man, something came up. My dad fell down the steps. You know, that excuse. I'm like, okay, man, this would go against everything that I've ever said recently about saying yes. You just got to say yes. You just got to do it. Turns out I'm glad I did it. The hardest part is waking up. I headed over to it's Cutlerville. Yeah, the community is called Cutlerville. Not far from, like 25 minutes. And I'm off. And I get there about 20 minutes before the start of the race. I've got time to get my bib and go poo-poo. And both those things happen normally, thank God. No incidents. And you know how important it is that I do that, because you don't want to be on the course. Of course, it's only a 5K. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, 18-hour-old Lucky Charms is a bad thing. While I'm walking around, I run into the multi-talented Susan Draper. Who is that, you ask? She was one of the people I used to work with at Cumulus. Super sweet, super nice. One of the salespeople. She was like volunteering. Hey, Susan, how are you? Hugs. She didn't ask how I was. Didn't ask how the podcast was going, because she probably doesn't know. But I didn't get the old, what are you doing these days? Thank God. Just kept it simple. Good to see you. Bye. Race starts. Now, I know about how I'm going to finish in this race. I had a goal of, if I was lucky, under 23 minutes, but I always shoot high, so I'm not too disappointed. 24 minutes. So that'll be about 740, 745 a mile. And so off I go. It always sucks to get started, but I take off and then, all right, I'm finally going. Mile one in the books. Mile two in the books. We got one more mile to go. Now, this is where you really got to, really suck it up here. Now, you're going to get people starting to fade. I notice this. Here's the thing. Whenever I'm running, I always encounter somebody like this, someone who looks like they have no business running as fast as they are. And not that I was breaking any records, but I was probably running about 715, 720 a mile, which for 50 years old isn't bad. And there's this dude in front of me who looks like a linebacker. He's not that tall, but he looks to be about 40 or 50 pounds overweight, just murdering it. And I'm like always in awe at these big husky behemoths crushing the time. And I go by him and I hear, "Hey, Zane." And it was Husky Behemoth guy. It said Hill on the back of his shirt. And so I go, "Hey, Hill." And I put up my hand to give him a high five. Of course I'm going to give him a high five. What an idiot, right? So as he goes to give me my high five that I so desire, something causes me to miss the high five and stumble awkwardly. That thing was a lightning bolt of pain, thunderbolt of pain through my body and shooting out of my eyes as I go, "Oh!" What has happened here is there was a pothole, like the one pothole for the entire 5K, and I landed in it. But it was like half my right foot, of course, right foot, the one with the toenails chewed off by the vultures, hit the flat surface of the road, and the other half of my foot went into the hole, and my ankle rolled. It folded like a Portuguese man of war, and oh my gosh. The noise alone was enough to make you throw up. It went kaplunk, cracko. And I'm like, whoa. And my ankle rolls all the way. It felt like up to my hip, if that's even possible. It was so bad. Now, I've done this 1 billion times, usually on the left. But I know how this is. And so my ankles are so, because this has happened so many times, they're loose, okay? And they're not, it's difficult for me to break them because I've done this so many times. So I'm pretty confident it's not broken, but I'm not 100% confident it's not broken. There's only one way to find out, and that is to keep running on it for me. Now, most of the times in the past, I had stopped, but this time I'm not going to. So I just keep striding and to see how it feels. The next five steps were some of the most excruciating pain that I've ever felt my entire life. And the first step was you know, like my leg had gotten ripped off, and then it slowly eased over the next 5 to 10. And I realized, all right, well, I think you're going to be okay. And I kept on. It's not broken. I can't really, I'm trying to rotate it right now, and boy, does it hurt. So I continue on with the race. Now, when I rolled the ankle, Hill, husky guy in the pink shirt, passes me. But I pass him late in the race. And I want him to run with me. So I pass him, and I know he listens to the show, so I go, "Come on, Hill, get on my hip. Let's go." And so I'm trying to bring this guy in. And then I go, "Come on, Hill, you got a shot at the title. Don't blow it." So I want this guy to pass me, but I think he ran out of gas because he couldn't hang. No big deal. But while that's going on, I hear crying. And it dawns on me, it's the crying of a child. Now, before I was trying to give Hill a pep talk about catching up with me, there was probably a 10, 11-year-old kid who was in front of me who, like, stopped. And a lot of times when kids run 5Ks, they'll go, 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 and they don't know how to pace themselves, and then they'll kind of let up and then just stop, get their breath, and then take off again. They haven't yet figured that out because they're young. This is one of those kids. Now, he has done this the whole race. He's really strong for that young of a kid to be running that fast. Most seven and a half-year-olds don't really have that ability to, for that extended time, to have their heart and lungs work that hard, and it hurts like hell.
And but this kid is doing it, you know, and he would start and stop and start and stop. So while I'm dealing with Hill and the ankle pain, he's not in front of me anymore, this kid. And I hear behind me this crying. Now, he's right there behind me by about 10, 15 feet, but he's about to stop again. So I look over my shoulder and I go, come on, buddy, let's go. Come on, no time for crying, just time for running. Let's go. Now, we are, you can see the finish line. You've got 300 yards to the finish. And as soon as this kid, as soon as I called him out and he realized that I could hear him crying and I was acknowledging him, he instantly stopped. So that tells me he was embarrassed that I caught him crying. And as soon, I mean, he was like, going, I go, hey, 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 none of that. Let's go. Let's get in the race. We're going to bring it home. Let's go. We're right there. Let's go, buddy. And so this kid stops crying. And he's like, F that. If this gray muffin top ass is going to beat me. And he takes off like a bat out of hell, like shot out of a gun. He was like the bullet that just went through David Ortiz. No, oh, terrible. And he just, boom. And this kid booked it. He ends up crossing the finish line ahead of me, Hill behind me. And that was that. About 7:25 a mile is what I averaged. 23 minutes on the button. That's right. Not bad for my fat lumbering ass. I'll take it. I was happy with that. After the race, dad of crying kid comes up to me, doesn't even know about the interaction. And he's telling me that, yeah, my son, he's really, really strong. I go, yeah, I brought him in. Yeah, he's great. He was, I didn't tell him that he was crying like a baby. And so dad wants to bring crying kid to running school on Wednesday at Striders. And I go, well, your kid's pretty advanced. I don't think he's going to run with the novice group. I mean, we're doing couch to 5K. I think your kid's ready for the higher tier. And then I'm like, but you know, you don't want him to run alone. So dad, you should probably run with him. Dad's not ready to run with him. Can you imagine if I actually got dad involved? So dad becomes a great 5K runner too. That was fun. Thanks to Hyde over at the Deemer for inviting me out to that race. Check it out next year for number 31. Now, my foot issues were not done, though. Remember I told you that the right foot, first, the doc said your foot is gross. Second of all, I rolled that son of a bitch so bad. Time out on Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. I sell T-shirts. I sell hoodies, long sleeve, short sleeve. I think hats. I don't know. It's been so long. I think the last time I actually sold a piece of merch was like 5 months ago. But makes a great Christmas gift for someone who likes the show. Get Eric Zane Show podcast gear when you go to my website, ericzaneshow.com. Click on merch. Thank you to another longtime sponsor, Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. 616-532-6600. This business, a West Michigan-based business to repair your car, of course. Any make and model with the exception of Volkswagen. Where are they? So if you're on 44th Street, they are three blocks east of 131. You can't miss it. The side street is Stafford. They're right there. That'll be the scene for the great food giveaway number three, which, by the way, it's worth mentioning. We are always in need of more cash for that. Venmo is at Eric-Zaitunian. I know my real last name. At Eric-Zeitunian. Send some cash. Let's feed some hungry people. We are doubling the amount of food that we are giving away. 200 families will be getting a free Christmas dinner consisting of a Christmas ham, canned vegetables to go along with that, potatoes for mashing, along with a big old jar of gravy for the potatoes. Some people make their own gravy, but still, we're throwing it in. The King's Hawaiian rolls and a pumpkin pie. Any dollar amount is appreciated. I don't care if it's $1. Do not be ashamed of that. We're counting on small donations in big numbers, okay? We've gotten some big donations this year, and we're nearing halfway of our goal of the dollar amount to raise money to pay for all of this. But I've gotten just a couple handfuls, maybe a dozen and a half donations have raised that amount of money. Irvine's threw in $500. Mike Ball threw in $500. So if we could operate in just thinking small donations, big numbers of people, boom. So I told you the Venmo, PayPal is at Eric Zane Show. Okay. Thank you. Love you for that. One more thing. My Policy Shop Insurance, that's Frank Fuss. Open enrollment for Obamacare happens right now. Frank can help you every step of the way. And please do this. If you are not, if you do not have insurance, health insurance, have Frank take care of you. 616-914-4070 to set up your appointment. He will help you every step of the way with this. And he does it for free because he's taken care of financially by the insurance companies. That's how it works. And consumer doesn't pay for that because the insurance companies love people like Frank because they bring them. He brings them new business for their insurance policies. That's how it works. And if you don't think you can afford health care with Obamacare, you can. I've been doing this now. This is my fourth year enrolling, and that's set up beautifully. I love it. All right. 616-914-4070. In fact, Frank is also the Medicare Advantage Plan and Social Security guru. Okay, continuing on with more of Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Later on that day, I should say at night, most people don't start their yard work at 8:30 at night. I do. Just hanging around in the backyard, and I realized I better get started on something because it was going to rain on Sunday. And now this has been a problem before. In the past, I've told you about we have in the yard some of that hay grass, you know, that grows really fast and tall during the warm months, and then it drops off, and then you're supposed to cut it at the end of the, like during the fall when it's all crisp and brittle, and you throw it away. I did not do that years ago, and I put it all in a pile because it was perfect for like kindling and burning. I thought there's no sense wasting all the space in the garbage can, and I lit it on fire. And I learned very, very quickly that that stuff burns not faster than gas, but faster than lighter fluid, and that is a fact. If I'm not just saying that's not hyperbole. If you drop a match on this hay grass when it's dead, the flame rises quicker and faster and hotter than fuel oil, that the stuff that you light your charcoal grill with. It's crazy. When that happened years ago, it went so hot and so fast and so big, I almost caught the backyard on fire, which would have in turn caught my neighbor's garage on fire, burnt the side of my face because I had to dive into the existing live trees and pull the branches back. I was holding on for dear life to keep them from, they were sizzling. The sap in the needles was going, psst, ready to ignite, man. That was very, very scary. It was no joke. Burnt the side of my face. It was all shiny. And I walked into the front yard after dodging this bullet. I had no water on hand to put out the flames, but somehow I survived and the flames died down. I wander up to the front. I'm in pain because I'm burnt. Jim pulls up in the driveway, goes, "Why is the side of your face all red? What happened to you?" I go, "Yeah, I hurt myself. I caught my face on fire and almost the neighborhood." So now I've learned my lesson to not do it that way. So what do? You do it again. That's it. So in the backyard, I got the hay grass that most people cut down in the fall. Mine's still there. It's growing new hay grass underneath it. But it looks like shit. So I want to get rid of it. So I get out the hedge trimmers, and I cut them down, cutting some of the existing new hay grass. So they're nice and neat now. Like I said, this should have been done half a year ago. I had started the fire in the yard not different fire pit with it's one I had built recently and never even used a damn thing. So a little fire crackling. I'm all alone, of course. I do have water, though. I got a swimming pool full of water and a bucket on hand just in case. I go, I'm not going to let this happen again. No big deal, right? Sure. So I gather up some of the hay grass, throw it on the fire, and sure enough, it lights on fire as quickly as I've described to you. But I go, I'm not going to pile this stuff on. I know how quickly this burns. It's a little windy, too. My neighbor, by the way, has just put I told you about how the crew Los Pollos Hermanos put the new roof on Kuiper's house. He's probably looking out the window like, oh, man, this dumb son of a bitch. I've had my roof about 6 hours, and it's going to burn down. Thanks, stupid. So I was keeping an eye on it. I didn't want the guy to think that was going to burn the neighborhood down. And no big deal. Nothing out of the ordinary happened. I'll just cut to the chase. So don't expect this to go the way. But you know what did happen? Getting back to the foot. I'm so stupid. I'm walking around the yard cutting this stuff and throwing it on the fire with no shoes on or socks. I was too lazy to go in the house and put on any footwear. Anything would have been more appropriate than bare feet. For the simple fact alone that the dogs take dumps back there, you don't want to be stepping in dog dump problem. And you sure as hell don't want to be walking around, you know, a fire. And then it happened. That hay grass, you throw it on there and then it lights up and then the ends break off and they fall out of the pit. And that happened. And the pain that I felt when I stepped on the ember was worse than rolling the ankle. I don't know how these people that walk on hot coals do it, frankly. How is that even a thing? Because this thing wasn't like just a little hot and I stepped on it and extinguished it with my foot. It was so hot, it stayed in solid form when I stepped on it. It was hot enough, but thick enough that it wasn't burned through. And it went through my foot. So hot. You won't believe how painful this was. Now, I've got a very, very calloused hobbit foot. It's gross. It's like a thick layer of leather skin that's just horrible. Thank God I've got that because it went through that and then into like where it hurts. And man, it wouldn't stop burning. The damn thing went into the foot. Okay. And I'm trying to, I'm lifting my foot up and grabbing it with one hand and hitting the bottom of my foot, and it won't stop burning because it's inside of my foot. Wow. There's a mark there like you wouldn't believe. I don't want to show it to you. Like it'd be really weird if I did that right now. I don't want to do it, but it was so bad. I ran over to the pool and the water's ice cold, and just dunked my foot in there into this green algae water because it hadn't yet been treated. I just took the cover off the damn thing. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. The things I put myself through because either I'm lazy or just ignorant or dumb. This was complete laziness. So now I've got this big, gigantic, it wasn't even a blister. It's just this, I have like this wound on the foot. I'm pretty convinced it's a third degree burn, but it's a line because it was the shape of the hay grass, which was thick like a pencil. Okay. So very, very awful. Terrible. That's basically what I went through this weekend with this stupid foot of mine. We got to talk about the juicy seafood kicking crab fight in Jackson, Mississippi. First of all, I just love the name. Juicy seafood kicking crab. All right. You know I love to break down fights on any type of video. So this one is no exception. It looks like several families here are involved in the juicy seafood kicking crab fight. And in the YouTube video, which I'll link up, you can see if you're listening to the audio podcast,
You'll be able to click on it and watch it, and then you can kind of piece together what I'm describing to the actual video after the fact. But for those who are watching live, I am going to do a breakdown of the video so that you'll be able to see and hear what's up. Now, I don't know about hear, but for sure see what's up in only the way that I like to do. So families are there, and apparently from what I'm understanding, there was a couple of families. This is the type of place where like everybody's pulling the tables together, you know, and they're gonna crush some frickin' seafood. And the restaurant looks great. This looks like a place that I would love to hang out at. Great food, it looks like, because I love seafood. And so they got one family, which is several people, and another family, which is several people. And for one reason or another, things start to roll. And when the video starts, the women in this video, these are women who would be described 25 years ago as fat asses. But nowadays, they're curvy. Here's the thing about women who look like this. They have power, a lot of power. Now, the stamina and the lung capacity might be a little low because they probably don't go out and go running. But for short bursts, you're going to get some serious strength there, okay? So in both, if you're going to go to a Juicy Seafood Kickin' Crab, you're probably going to have a few studs on your fight team. And both sides do. One of the things that stands out here is they start to like throw things at each other. First, they're throwing silverware. All right. And then finally, on the other side, the opposite end of the restaurant, a lady picks up a napkin dispenser. So we're increasing the size of the objects being thrown. She brings her arm back, and all of the napkins of one side of the napkin dispenser fly out. And then as she follows through with the throw, the other side of napkins go flying everywhere. Okay, so now the game is up. The first group that was throwing the silverware, they have now grabbed chairs, and they are swinging them. Okay? In fact, let me just get after this. Instead of doing the play-by-play and then rolling the thing, I'm just going to show you right now how it unfolded. So you've got... It goes from silverware to napkin dispenser to, the chairs. All right. Hold on a second here. I'm screwing this up. Okay. You can see that. And here we go. Look at now. The one of the things you notice is there's a lot of children here. This kid's, you know, he should be in a limousine listening to Justin Timberlake songs as some old lady crashes a car in front of him. But no, he's at Juicy Seafood Kickin' Crab watching all these people fight. And look at this restaurant, by the way. You got this this little decorative Jeep here on display. You know, maybe the animatronic band can get in there and play. I don't know. But this is what I meant about the curvy ladies. These three right here. Okay, actually four. There's four ladies right here. And that you're looking at about 1,000 pounds of lady right there. These four. One, two, three, four. All right. And you got another little kid here. All this kid wants to do is eat some seafood. And no, she or he has to dodge flying utensils. See, they're like picking it up off the table and throwing it at this group. Okay. And then look at Mama here, another curvy lady. She's three bills. She grabs the napkin dispenser. Now watch. See? All the napkins go flying, and then she throws that thing. It goes, and then, okay, this lady here, she gets the chair. Now we've got chairs. Look at this. Okay, and then this lady, she grabs a chair and charges. She does the Jon Snow. She goes running at the group, swinging the chair. Okay, by the way, a lot of people in this video are either wearing white T-shirts or white beaters. This guy right here behind chair lady, chair Jon Snow, this white dude here with the wife beater throws punches. He reminds me of Lamar Luttrell from Revenge of the Nerds. Wait till you see this guy's limp-wristed fighting style, okay? So she comes in, and now look at, here comes
Lamar Luttrell, this dude's in the way. Now watch Lamar Luttrell. Watch this right here. Watch these punches. Look at that. He is flailing. Look at this. Look at this guy. Hold on. I got to back that up here because there's a great spot here where you get this one dude. Look at the camera with a smile on his face. See this guy right here? Former lead singer of the Fat Boys. Watch this. Look at, he's like, oh shit. What's up, motherfucker? He's like, it's on, bitch. It's on. Look at, he's like, oh my God, man. And the juice of seafood kicking crab. We're kicking ass, motherfucker. Holy shit. That is great. Then he looks back. Okay. By the way, look at this neck roll on this guy. Everybody, that's a prerequisite, I think, for a lot of the people that eat at the Juicy Seafood Kickin' Crab. If you have this neck roll here, that is some serious power. That means you have put in the time. You have put in a lot of time to achieve that. If you actually have, look at this crease. You could, somebody could put their penis in that crease and be satisfied. Look at the size of that thing. It's like an ass crack. My God. God, that's a neck roll. And another one here. That is a serious neck roll. Okay, back to the fight. Lamar Luttrell in the background here as the lead singer of the Fat Boys gets out of the shot. Okay, here's his little kid. Daddy, it's happening again. Holy shit, man. This is terrible. Look at the kid. Luttrell is throwing punches. Look at Luttrell throw these punches. My God, he's actually leaning backwards while he's slapping. This is a three-person slap fight. You got Luttrell, Busta Rhymes is the opponent, and Shirley, from what's happening here, they're all into it. Look at that. That's incredible. More chairs being picked up. All right, here you go. Raj's mom is now picking up the chair, and she's swinging it. Oh! And then this lady falls down. More chairs. Luttrell picks up the chair. Did you see that? It was like he was inbounding a soccer ball. It was like that guy who threw the bobcat. Watch Lamar Luttrell here in the wife beater. Pick up the chair and boom. That is great form. And it hits this chick in the jean jacket. Another one of the hefty quad band of seafood eaters. And it actually hits her. And it doesn't do anything. Oh, my God. And then the fight kind of goes over to here. So you have basically skinny guys and fat women. That's what the fight is. And then that's who's actually fighting here. Busta Rhymes gets hit with something here. It's kind of hard to make it out, but you see that something has hit his head. And then so much damage has been done. He's like covers up his eyes or something. He probably lost his vision right there. He's probably going to get really good at playing guitar. More chairs, more shit being thrown. And just, oh my God. Now they're kind of separating here. They're like, what do we do now? If we could, we'd pick up this car and throw it at you. All of those kids. Wow. That is an incredible fight.
All right. Pause in the action. Hire me on Cameo. Oh my God. I love those so much. And I don't talk about it enough. You know? Hire me on Cameo, cameo.com/Eric Zane, and I will give birthday well wishes, any type of I don't know, anniversary, nuptials, things like that. Or if you just want to roast your buddy, I can do that. I am the number one ball breaker on Cameo. And all these other people that do cameos and charge like $500, they all suck. They are horrible. It's just like 5 seconds of Vince Neil saying, hey, everybody, it's Vince Neil. Hey, man, thanks. Keep rocking. And then that's it. No, man. I'm all in on those things. Anybody's ever that I've ever done a cameo for, they walk away entertained and satisfied. And it's just $15.99. I am the biggest. I am the most underpriced thing on Cameo. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's because nobody knows who the fuck I am. But still, I love it. And I'm going to keep it priced that way. $15.99. Hire me on Cameo. Cameo.com/Eric Zane. All right. Now, As always, thank you to the Kent County Health Department. They are drumming up a little bit of promotion, if you will. I guess promotion is a terrible word. They are asking me to help them build awareness. That's better. For the December 1st World AIDS Day. All right? AIDS in the world now is no longer a death sentence. Reach out to the Kent County Health Department for information about testing. I know it sounds weird because I'm like, hey, go find out if you're HIV positive. But shit, I mean, that's important. My God. The quicker you find out about that, the quicker you can be on the road to recovery, because there's all sorts of important medicines these days that can make HIV undetectable in your body. It was unheard of just a few decades ago, but here we are. Thank God. AccessKent.com/health for more information. When you go to that website, there's a phone number. A real live person will pick it up, ask questions, and there you go. Everything you need with the Kent County Health Department. Thank you to my friends at Blue Frost IT. Blue Frost IT. Your balls aren't blue, but your frost is too with Blue Frost IT. So dumb. BlueFrostIT.com, 616-200-8550. So Blue Frost IT is Michigan's number one rated IT, managed IT service provider and tech support in all of the entire state, as voted on by the IT nerd tech community. 3 years running. Blue Frost IT will sit down with you for your small or medium-sized business in and around West Michigan for a 30-minute complimentary consultation as to finding out what you need to upgrade your tech. You know, you're going to age out of the old stuff, and, hey, you got to update it, because when that stuff starts to malfunction or just can't be supported anymore, you have to upgrade. Blue Frost IT will help you every step of the way. For any other issues you have, spot fixes or things like that, you just have problems, Blue Frost IT will help you with your tech. 616-200-8550. Continuing on with more of Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Problem in the middle of the night last night. I told myself when this happened, don't say anything. Don't say anything. It's the middle of the night. She's sound asleep. Well, she kind of was. Don't address this. There was a voice in my head saying, ignore it. Do not bring this up to her right now. This is a terrible idea if you do this. And did I listen to that voice? No, not a bit. This is horrible. I cannot believe that this happened. And I can't believe that it just popped into my brain. So Diana has been having a horrible time with her right shoulder. I've detailed this. She can't even do anything. I mean, like the arm only, range of motion is very limited, and it is incredible pain if she even gets close to the end of that range of motion, okay? And it reminds us of something that happened years ago, that frozen shoulder, which I've detailed before. For some reason, the thing just stops working, and the body produces a large amount of like scar tissue. And limits the mobility because it's all in there. And they have to go in and do a forced manipulation of it, which sounds insane. They knock you out, and then they go. And then your shoulder makes a noise similar to what that MMA fighter probably made the other night when he kicked the dude. And then they send you on your way, and you start rehab, and they bust up all the scar tissue. The joint itself can move. It's not damaged. It just has scar tissue. It's just really, really wonky. So they don't know for sure the problem here. So first they tried rehab. That didn't work. And it always drives me crazy. I'm like, why don't you just do an MRI, pay for have insurance pay for the MRI? Oh, no, no, we'd like to try this first. And it's, great. So that didn't work. Then they did the MRI, and this is through an orthopedic. And today is the day that Diana finds out what they found in the MRI. They will find out today if it is frozen shoulder. And they even brought up, and I've mentioned this before, that it could be arthritis. And if that is the case, the shoulder's shot. What happens there is, you know how like it's like a ball, your shoulder joint, and it fits into like a socket, okay? And it kind of rotates around in there. Well, on the end of the bone, on the ball there, is this fibrous meniscus material, okay? And that's so that it operates smoothly. And then, but arthritis, that all like gets destroyed and pocked. It looks like the surface of the moon, okay? And it's really rough. And then that's where it like clicks and pops and cracks and it's painful and it's continues to deteriorate until one day it's bone touching bone. And that's a bummer. So if it's arthritis, they get rid of the shoulder and put a fake one in there. So, you know, we're hoping that that is not the case, and we're hoping it's just the frozen shoulder. But last night, I had a thought, and I cannot believe it's taken me this long to think about it. And I got scared. I got scared that Diana has cancer. You're like, wait, what? Now, stay with me here. Diana I hate to announce her age, but she is 54. And I know. She robbed the cradle. She was like 22 years old, and I was a freshman in college. And the next thing I know, she's sitting on my face. And it was horrible. No, I'm just kidding. I feel bad about that. I just had a notion that Jackie is going to hear this, my daughter. And that's Jackie. Pretend, don't ever bring up that you heard that stupid joke. So she used to buy beer for me, and she was much older than me. Well, freshman Eric in college is just trying to find his way. But the reason why I bring this up is because when Diana's mother was in her late 50s, like 57, 58, she had, my knee hurts. My knee hurts. Oh, my God. And so, she goes to the doc, and doc says, it's a sprain or whatever. And then she's, I don't know, it feels really strange to me. No, that's what it is. So this goes on and on for weeks and weeks. He sends her to rehab, and then as time passes, she goes to the rehab place, and the guy who's doing the rehab, he goes, just by touching your knee, there's something structurally different than what I can tell. She goes, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I feel something there. And it's just he's just touching it with his hands. Something is wrong. There is something here that needs to be looked at by a doctor. So she goes back to the doc and he goes, nope, it's nothing. It's nothing. Takes an x-ray. It reveals nothing. She goes back to the rehab place and he's like, no, I demand something further happen. If you want, so there's a dialogue between the rehab guy and the doctor, and the doctor goes, you're crazy. Like I'm going to take this shit from a stupid guy who's supposed to teach you exercises. And he's like a real arrogant doctor. I'll never forget it. And so finally we bitched enough. And this doctor said, okay, fine. I'll refer you to get an MRI. Well, we got the MRI, and it's cancer. Enormous, you know, like when you were a kid, you got one of those little tiny souvenir footballs. That's what they describe the plastic. That's what they just said. They described the size of the tumor in her leg. And it was a rapidly growing tumor called a soft tissue sarcoma in the joint. And, since it was detected so late, it had really wrapped itself around the sciatic nerve in the back of the leg there. And so that destroyed the use of the leg. and they couldn't really get it all because it was really, it was almost like a root system. It was horrible. So then they do all sorts of radiation and chemotherapy, and then it had, of course, metastasized in her lungs. This is an awful, awful thing. It killed her. We even looked into suing the son of a bitch, and you know how like the docs don't ever like testify against other docs. It was ugly. Nothing ever came of it. So that was that. So this all popped into my brain last night. That, and I had the, now it's probably not. In fact, I'm 99% sure. I'm 99.99999% sure it's not, because it has all the symptoms of frozen shoulder. But in my head, I convinced myself this problem. Okay, so you can imagine. Now, it's one thing if I think it. But at 2 in the morning, I'm like, Don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. The doctor's appointment is today. It's not like it's going to do any good if you bring this up right now. So just be quiet. But I'm like, and I'm like flip-flopping in the bed, and I'm anxious. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. Yeah, just getting ready to fall right back asleep. No big deal. Oh, okay. I'm rolling, tossing, and turning. Like 5 minutes turns to 15 minutes, turns to half an hour. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. And the mind is such a... why do our brains do this to us? Why do they try? It's like there's a... something in there that just wants to ruin your day or night. And it's like, hey, asshole. Yeah. It's me again. Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. She's got so much cancer, it's unbelievable. No, she doesn't. Stop it. What the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, you know it. And it's all your fault. Mine? First of all, she doesn't. How do you know? Yeah, fuck you. Look, it's everywhere, and it's all your fault because you didn't think of it before. Way to go, asshole. You fucked everything up again. You're such an asshole. No wonder why no one wants to work with you. You're either pissing them off or giving them cancer. This is your fault. She doesn't have cancer. Yeah, so you say. We're going to find out soon enough, and then I'm going to rub your nose in cancer shit. Asshole. Fuck you. Sleep good. So I'm like, fuck. I go, honey. And I brought it up. I said, hey, so I'm worried. Why? About your shoulder. Yeah, it's fine. Nah, I don't know. What do you mean? Yeah. What if it's what your mom had, the soft tissue sarcoma in the knee joint? What, it's just manifested in your shoulder. Have you thought of that? And I'm having this discussion at 2:30 in the morning. Well, no, I hadn't thought about it. And she said all the things that I didn't want to hear. And I don't know where I thought that would go. I mean, what did I expect would happen? Oh, that's good news. Yeah. Okay. Hey, that's no problem. Yeah. And so the only reason why I brought it up is because I wanted her to say to me, oh no, you're silly. But she didn't do that at all. She goes, well, I hadn't thought of that. But now I, and so now she's a fucking week.
Hello.
Hi, honey. It's me.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm doing the podcast.
Yeah, I know. What are you doing besides the podcast? Why are you calling me?
Well, I was just sharing a story with the audience.
Oh, yeah?
What do you think it's about?
You scaring me last night? Or worrying me last night? That one?
Yeah. So I'm still slightly worried. And are you still worried, or are you not worried at all about what I did?
No, I'm not worried, but you kind of worried me when you were stupid last night. What?
I don't know what I expected to happen. I don't know why I did that. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad about that. I mean, it's not, for some reason, I thought that if I brought it up to you, you would just say, ah, no, you're an idiot. Go back to bed. That's what I was hoping you would say. That's why I did that.
You know, I'm not like that. I get worried easy.
Oh, my God. So it's not, right? I mean, you're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine now.
No, I mean, it's not cancer, is it?
No. God.
It's just the show because, well, you know, if they would have seen something, they would have called you right away, right? Or unless they...
I would assume they would. I don't know.
Oh, my God. I'm still really worried about this.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Stop.
Okay. All right. So
you're being stupid.
Yeah. So everything. What time is the appointment? Like 11 o'clock, 11:30, you said?
Yeah. 11:20.
Okay. All right. Well, I should probably go to that.
No, you don't need to go. I can just tell you what they said.
What time is it at?
No, you can't go because Jackie's going and you can't have more than two people.
Well, then I'll wait in the waiting room.
No, you're not going.
No, I am too going.
No, you're not.
I'm absolutely
There's
going.
No reason for you to go. I can just call you on the way home.
Bullshit. It's a free country. What if there's something really terrible that's happened? I can't. No way. No way. No, I'm going to. There's no way I can't do this. You can't. Why the hell is Jackie going?
Because I told you why she's going. Because she wants to try and make a sale.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Yeah. That's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you more about this when I get done. I cannot believe that all happened. I got into my own head. Could you sense that something was wrong? I mean, how did it go on your end?
Well, I was kind of asleep, and then you kind of got agitated with me because I was kind of restless. And I said, "Well, I can't help it. My shoulder hurts all the time. I can't get comfortable." And then you're like, "Well, what if it's not something bad? Is it like your mom?" Like, but first of all, it was my mom's leg, not her shoulder.
I know, but I thought soft tissue cell sarcoma can start in any similar tissue in the shoulder joint. That's why I had that problem.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they have to hack off your arm or the shoulder and you go through life like Captain Hook?
That would be bad because I'm right-handed. I'd have to learn how to write left-handed and do everything left-handed. Although lately I have been doing most things left-handed.
Wow.
Except for right because it hurts.
You'd be like my pal, marathoner Henry Hoffman in Grand Rapids. He runs around with one arm. He runs in a circle.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. I'm sorry I bothered you.
That's okay. Did you hear Daisy? She decided to stay down here with me.
Yeah, I can hear her snoring. I can hear her snoring.
Yeah.
Okay. What's Kevy doing?
Watching the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I love you.
All right. I'll see you soon.
Okay. See you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
I haven't even dared look at the comments yet. They're all going to say, "You asshole. Way to go." Okay, pause in the action. Let me talk about your business. Advertising on the Eric Zane Show podcast is effective. I underprice it, I undercharge, and I overdeliver. Ask anyone who's ever been on my show. All right? As effective or more than radio, TV, or internet advertising. Advertise with me. Send me an email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. The only person who will not agree with me on that is the immortal Jason Mays from JM Synthetics. Nobody bought the freaking oil. My God. Anyway, advertise with me, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Thank you, Full House Comedy, for being part of the show. Go to fullhousecomedy.com. for a list of all the venues and the upcoming shows at all of the different Full House Comedy locations. Also, thanks to the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Right now might be a great time for you to get out of debt or perhaps just kind of hang on with a lump of cash from your home. All right, 231-332-6505. I like the idea of you paying off that high interest credit card bill that you have. You know, you get that damn thing. Let's say you owe $8,000, but it's 24% interest.
you know? And then you're like, all right, I'm going to pay off more each month than what I owe. Well, all right, that's fine. But then on that $8,000, you've got $124 in interest charges. All right, that's a problem. Why don't you borrow the money from your home at 7% interest, pay off that bill, save a ton of money because you're no longer paying that high of an interest rate, and then you've refinanced it if you want. You could spread it out over many, many years. You barely notice it, for God's sake, or just pay it all back on your own mortgage as quickly as you can at a lower interest rate that you just got when you got the loan. See, I could be a loan officer, for God's sake. 231-332-6505 for 5 Gold Star service from the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage, servicing audience members all around the United States with the exception of Maine, Alaska, Hawaii, and South Carolina. Don't ask me why, but that's the way it goes. Thank you, Mario. 231-332-6505. All right. More of Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Limo work quite often leads to, I just talked about this yesterday, these crazy ass stories that take place. And I've got a long day scheduled for Saturday. I'm talking like a noonish to like 1 a.m.-ish, that long of a day. I've got 2 different things I need to do. And so I get excited about these things because I'm kind of like, oh boy, where is this one going to take us, man? This is going to be fantastic. All that activity, interacting with these people, it's really a great job. I'm very lucky to have it. But yesterday was a real simple one. Okay, you just get the car, and now I find out that it is a birthday party, and we're talking a very, very young school age girl birthday party, and I get to the house, and what we're going to do is we're going to pick up about a dozen, like I'm guessing 6th graders from school. And I go to the house and mom is there and dad is there and they've got the house all decorated. And the plan is we're going to go to the school and pick the kid up with all the friends. And so she's like, we got to, you know, she's like, well, all this planning. So she wants to make sure it's all executed perfectly. And then she no doubt thinks, oh, no, because I get out of the vehicle to say hello to this nice lady. And I've got my mask. You know, I double up on the masks. I've got 2 masks on. And so I get out and she goes, do we need to wear masks like that? And now it's at this point that even if they had to, even if that was a rule, and I think technically it is, but not in my car. I'm not gonna make the customer do that, you know. And I go, no, just me. I'm just wearing this. If I had said, yep, you're wearing one, lady, okay, she would have beat the hell out of me right there. I could tell that was going to be a problem. So I sidestepped that. Okay, great. I help her decorate the inside of the car, and then off we go. We pick up another mom. We got 2 moms now, and they're just like, this has got to work out perfectly. We take the car over to where the kids are going to get picked up, and then they come around the corner, this army of kids, and I heard from one of the moms that the dads don't even want any part of this because they can't handle this amount of kids. And I go, well, you don't have anything to worry about. I grew up with daughters, so this is no big deal. I've had many birthday parties with a bunch of young girls, school age girls. I can handle this. So I'll get you where you need to get to safely. No problem. These kids pile in, man. And so, you know, what's great about this is, I'm reasonably certain that I don't have to worry about any nasty music. Okay. Can you just imagine if while we're driving down the road, they start playing that Cardi B song WAP. I mean, these are young kids. It's all, every time it's like 18 and up, it's always like the worst, grossest music. So damn embarrassing. And it happened the last time, this past weekend. I was like, come on, guys. That song by Please or whatever it was, Hypnotize. It was nasty. It's horrible. So, okay. They're listening to, what's that one song that you hear? Is it from the, is it Trolls? Yeah, it's the Trolls soundtrack that Justin Timberlake. Dance, 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 dance. Can't fight this feeling. That's a very wholesome, fun song, you know? So they're listening to that on repeat. And my job now is to just ferry these kids about, drive through downtown. They got an hour of time, no big deal. Kids just having a ball. They're listening to the Justin Timberlake. I'm getting them to where they need to go. We're just going to go into the downtown area, very, very, very nice downtown Grand Rapids, and just kind of tool around slowly in this gigantic limousine and then take them home. And then the party's going to start in earnest. I've got a trunk full of kids' book bags and the presents. All the kids, by the way, the mom was very, very proud of them because nobody spilled the beans. You know, I mean, you ask a kid to keep a secret, they can't keep a secret to save their lives. But all of these kids, they were able to keep the secret. So the one kid is just, she's over the moon. And I let him in the car and they're listening to Justin Timberlake. And off we go. And then, as true to form, shit always happens to me. How many times have I sat down with you and said, this shit always happens to me? I'm always the first there. I'm always I always am the most involved. I'm at a light and there's several cars in front of me at the light. So I'm like seven cars back and I'm waiting. And there's a smallish SUV in front of me. And this is the craziest shit in the world. Okay. This is not, and I'm not, this is, there's no hyperbole here. This is an unbelievable story that probably, if it were just a little bit worse, it would have been on the news. And it all happened in front of my eyes. Now, kids, Justin Timberlake, mom, me, mask, this car suddenly, I don't know how it missed the car in front of it, but it's not moving. And then suddenly, it looked like that. You ever see the movie World War Z, where at the very beginning of that film with Brad Pitt, they're just driving in the city, and then all of a sudden, everybody starts crashing because they're all turning into zombies. You remember that? That was a terrifying movie, by the way. And this, by the way, and the zombies in that film, those were not slow moving zombies. If you're going to make a zombie movie, that's the zombie movie you want to see. That was a great freaking movie, World War Z. That was terrifying to me. That scene when they climbed over that wall in Jerusalem. Oh. They're attracted by sound. Phew. In that film, everybody just starts crashing into shit while they're driving down the street and other people are just running. The zombies are biting people. That's what this was like, because whoever's driving the car suddenly just stomps on the gas, but immediately the wheels are turned all the way to the right. So whoever's driving it is not hitting the vehicle in front of them, but is now as fast as lightning, just stomping on the gas, goes flying up the curb. The car actually is airborne, is in the air. I watched the car. Four tires are now in air. Comes down on this corner house front lawn. It's got about 25 feet of grass, and then house goes right up this little hill of the house and drives right into the living room of this house. Up on the porch, wheels still spinning like crazy, okay? Like the gas is still down. Bricks, the front door is in the house. Bricks are falling onto the car. The roof sags. This car's in the house! And I'm going, what the fuck? So I pull it over. I got a 14-passenger Lincoln, a 30-foot limousine. Not exactly the easiest thing to pull over, but I pull that shit over, and I look to the back, and mom, the dance, 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 that I can't fight the feeling. All the kids are like, yeah, dance, 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 dance. And I point to the mom, and she's like, "What? What? I was Justin Timberlake. What the fuck is going on? Oh my God! Look at that! There's a car in the house."
Like a son of a bitch, man. I throw open the driver's side door, and there I am in my gay magician outfit running up this hill. And I'm thinking, okay, at this point, all I can picture is I'm Ken Schrader, all right? And in the car is going to be Earnhardt. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is it. This is a big one. You got it always happens. I'm always in the middle of these damn things. How many times have we gone down this road where I am involved in it? So I go running up, and I look inside, and there's a little old lady who is just sitting there. Like, if you can see this, you can't if you're listening to the audio podcast, but she's just looking around. Motor's like, I knock on the glass, and she looks at me like, oh, hi. And I rolled out. She rolls down the window. I go, hi, ma'am. How are you? Are you okay? She goes, yeah. I go, can you get your foot off the gas? Oh, okay. And so she's at least 120 years old. I go, and she's like, is there any damage? I don't think there's any damage. And I'm like, is there any damage? You're in the living room of the house. And so right away, I'm like, okay, she appears like she's okay, but she's kind of scattered. And I wonder if anybody is in the house dead. I mean, this is serious shit. So at this point, people are now pulling over. This all happens very fast. And I'm the first one there. And I said, open the car. And I go, okay. I go, what's your name? She tells me her name. I go, let's get out of the car, ma'am. She goes, oh, okay. All matter of fact like that. And I go, and so I don't want to ask her questions yet because she's in the car, and I don't know if the fucking thing's going to blow up or what. So I go, takes off her seatbelt, and I go, come on, let's get out of the car. I go, there's a chair right over here. Let's go sit down. This house is like a swing. I go, let's go sit in the swing, ma'am. Oh, okay. So I think she did the old, I mean, I don't know if there was a medical thing or she did stompy on the gas instead of the brake or what. Maybe. I mean, that happens. Oh, boy. She sits down, and everybody's like, is she okay? And I go, I think so. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes walking out of the house, and it's the person who lives there. I go, is this your house? She goes, well, yeah. And I go, are you okay? She goes, yeah. So she's everybody's in shock a little. It's one of those things, you know? And so somebody calls the cops or whatever, and then she's fine. I go, do you have a phone? Do you have I go, is there a mister? And she goes, yes. I go, okay, well, let's call him. Okay, let's give him a call, and maybe we can start the process of coming to get you, and he's probably going to want to see you. So you can imagine that phone call. Honey, yeah, you're not going to believe what just happened. Yeah, what is it this time? Well, this house just jumped right in front of the car. I couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there driving down the road, and all of a sudden, there's a house in front of me. I don't know how it got there, but I think it's new. So, I mean, this guy's like, oh, fuck, here we go. So I kind of got the hell out. I still had a job to do, but I got out of there. I probably spent from the time I saw the car go airborne and smash right into this house. It was right out of a movie. That was the craziest thing in the world. And boy, did it wreck the house. Whoa. It's insane to think how something really, really horrible could have happened. She could have been badly hurt. She could have run over a kid walking home from school. She could have creamed somebody in the house. Oh, my God. So that was it. I guess she's okay. But I they had it in hand. I said, I got to get the hell out of here. So can you believe that shit? As it all unfolded, I was like, what am I seeing here? Yeah, this all happened yesterday right in front of me. As
all right. Wow. That is it. Putting the wraps on another edition of Not the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. This one is in the books. I thank you for checking it out. I appreciate that. I will be back coming up on Friday with a fresh show. That's right. Fucking one day off, motherfucker. Back for a Friday edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast. Thank you so much, folks. Have a great one. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.